Saquon or say no? And more email from listeners of the podcast. Thank you for tuning in. This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Season 9, Episode 19. Hooters is our presenting sponsor. OriginalHooters.com is your online destination for address, hours, phone number of any of their 11 greater Tampa Bay area locations, as well as easy online ordering. Remember, their everyday pricing on Bud Light Pints, $4.79, Mick Ultra, $4.99, Neutral Cans, $4.99, and of your sauce options for wings and their new hand-breaded chicken tenders, separate or in a sandwich, you have the new choice of Mango Habanero, introduced this summer. Hooters, continued sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, 11 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area to serve you. We look forward to Tony Metzler hosting us for one of my personal leagues this year. Tony and I have been talking fantasy football for a while. Hooters has been the sponsor of my podcast for 8 years, and we've never gotten on the same page, for Tony has hosted some fantasy events but not been able to participate in one of my leagues. We think that changes this year. Hope so. Look forward to seeing you, Tony. Tony is a store manager at the John's Pass location out Madeira Beach, Treasure Island, out in the area where I grew up, where not a lot's changed. Some things have. You know, my favorite mini golf course growing up in Treasure Island is now a condo or an apartment building or something. Golf. For those of you of my age or even a little older, in Treasure Island, Florida, there used to be a really cool, kind of modernish mini golf place, like not the windmills and stuff like that. It was just angles and bounces and not a lot of weird humps. It was golf. Gosh, it was cheap. I was there. My grandfather would take me down there to play once every 1 to 2 weeks in the summertime, probably more often. It was a little too far for me to ride my bike to get all the way to Treasure Island. I don't think my grandparents wanted to see me going over the John's Pass Bridge. But yeah, golf. So other than that, not being there, and one of our favorite restaurants in what, Indian Shores or Indian Rocks Beach, the pub, changing names, changing hands. I got to go in there to see if I recognize anything. Life living on the Gulf beaches in the Tampa Bay area doesn't change much over time. And I'm okay with that. Write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Got another email here. Let's quickly do this before we talk about Saquon Barkley, because David is a good fantasy player. He writes me thought-provoking emails. He actually wrote me a couple. I said, David, pick one. Which one do you want me to talk about? His other one was basically, Devontae Adams, is he good or not good? He's good. I just kind of don't want to deal with what's going on with him. I think the Raiders aren't going to be a good team. It doesn't mean Adams won't have good games. He almost lost his mind last year. I think he may lose his mind this year. There's continued conversation. Does he end up reuniting with Aaron Rodgers in New York? He could end up somewhere else. I have a theory that the Raiders aren't really trying to compete to win this year, based on what they're doing with the coaching staff, based on what they did with their first round draft pick, based on who they have as quarterback options. So I kind of don't want to make an investment in that, at least in the draft. You know, sometimes you can just decide not to draft a player. I already have a player in mind. I can't really say it on a podcast because Not everybody, but a number of people I play against listen to this podcast. I already have a wide receiver in mind that either I'm going to throw a late round dart at this wide receiver, or I got my eye on him to pick him up on waivers somewhere in the first 2 to 3 weeks. Because sometimes you wait to see if a player produces and then pick them up. I'm not saying you can do that with Devontae Adams, but you can make deals later for players. You don't always have to draft them. But yeah, Adams is good. I just don't, he's in a bad situation and I kind of don't want to deal with it and want to see what's going on there to decide later if I want to try to add him to my roster. I've had him in the past when he was with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay and he was wonderful. Let's see. David then says he shares the results of me in a keeper league, which doesn't do as much for a lot of you, and I'm not in any keeper leagues, but we talked earlier about a keeper league trade where traded for an upgraded quarterback, giving up the 8th overall pick. But basically, the email says, in the 4th and 5th rounds, I had two difficult sort of this or that decisions to make. Curious to get your perspective. He was between Connor or Montgomery, and then Amari Cooper and Keenan Allen. David says, the decisions were made for me. Montgomery went before my pick, so he took Connor. I think you did good there. The Lions have to play Gibbs more this year. I'm a Montgomery fan of his athleticism, how hard he runs. Gibbs is the more explosive player. I think defenses want to see Montgomery on the field more than they want to see Gibbs. It makes it easier for them. I'm not saying they're going to stop Montgomery. It just makes it easier. If you're going to put David Montgomery in the game, unless a Warren Sharp is going to send me eye-opening play action numbers on Montgomery snaps, then I'll think twice about that. But yeah, Gibbs is the more versatile, explosive player. And you don't want to keep Gibbs down for too long. You know, the Titans did that with Derrick Henry. Why? If you're the Lions and you're seriously trying to get to the Super Bowl now, who's your better guy? Who's the more explosive player? Get him on the field more. You know, kind of like the complaints about Arthur Smith with Bijan Robinson last year. Then Amari went right after that, so he took Keenan Allen. I like that. You know, Amari Cooper was the exclamation point for Sean Sullivan from Bill Curry Ford winning one of my leagues last year because he plugged and played Amari Cooper in our championship week, which is week 16 and will be again this year. We moved it up. But I think that was more of an outlier. It was more of a spike than it was consistent. Keenan Allen's been a very consistent performer. I kind of zig and zag with Keenan Allen in ownership the way I did Raheem Mostert. When I own Allen, he doesn't seem to score enough. He's a between the 20s guy. When I don't own him, he scores. Raheem Mostert, when I own him, he gets hurt. Last year, I didn't own him. Didn't get hurt. Amazing season. You know, was sort of the, if you were looking for the Jamal Williams, right, from the previous year in New Orleans, and it didn't happen in Detroit, was it Detroit he went to and just disappeared? it was Mostert scoring those rushing touchdowns. What about 20? Thank you, David, for the email. I think you did good there with who you ended up with in rounds 4 and round 5. Interestingly, we just did a podcast about Connor going in the 5th round here in a keeper league. Granted, it was a keeper league. He went the 4th round, so I guess that makes sense because he'd be knocked down a peg if you're starting over. But yeah, I like Keenan Allen. I don't really know what to make of the Bears. I think Eberflus could be the first head coach fired, because head coach with a defensive background, he's not calling the defensive plays. Really, Eberflus to me is at his best as a coach when he is calling defensive plays. To me, he's above his pay grade. And the Bears would be better off with a head coach who can develop game plan, assist the growth of Caleb Williams, like, I don't know, a Cliff Kingsbury. That's just one name that comes to mind. Let me see. Let me go on a tangent here. Better head coaches for the Bears starting in 2025 than Eberflus. Okay. So I just gave you Kingsbury, who's currently the OC in Washington. Who else might make sense that might be available? Just hang with me here a little bit. Nah, maybe I'll do that on the Todd Wright Toddcast. Okay. Come on, Todd. One more. One more name. What's an offensive head coach that could lose his job? Well, what if Stephen Ross, what if the Dolphins have a bad year and Stephen Ross gets pissed off and he blows out McDaniel? Then you put McDaniel with Caleb. Whoa. Those two attitudes, that could be really interesting. Yeah. It could. Or if Minnesota freaks out and blows out O'Connell and the Bears just bring him over in the same division. Yeah. Could the Bears throw a ton at Dan Campbell's OC and finally get him out of Detroit, speaking of within the division? There you go. Let's talk about Saquon Barkley a little bit. I haven't spent a ton of time on any previous podcast about Saquon, who changes teams, speaking of within the division, after 6 years with the New York Giants, 5,211 career rushing yards, 35 rushing touchdowns, 2,100 receiving yards, 12 receiving touchdowns. Barkley, the number two overall pick in the 2018 NFL draft, changes teams. By the way, the top three picks in the 2018 NFL draft have now all changed teams. Baker Mayfield, four different teams. Saquon Barkley, two teams. Sam Darnold, three teams. Barkley's in Philly on a team that's 1 year removed from making a Super Bowl, brings in Kellen Moore's offensive coordinator, has a talented young franchise quarterback in Jalen Hurts, two quality wide receivers in A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. They draft and invest heavily in a quality offensive line. Granted, no Kelce this year in the middle. The Eagles are don't have quite the interior of both lines that they had. But the Eagles have been just about as good as anybody in drafting and developing next men up from their star players. And to their credit that they do that. They did invest heavily in their secondary in the draft this past season. Okay, so they bring in Barkley. Now, the Eagles, for almost the last 10 years, I mean, even going back to when they won Super Bowl 52, and that was Doug Peterson, that was not Nick Sirianni, who coached them in Super Bowl 58, they seem to rotate backs. They've gone through a lot of different running backs. Barkley is someone who is a three-down back. 1,201 rushes his first 6 years with the Giants. Remember, he had a devastating injury 2 games into the 2020 season that affects those numbers. and he's caught 288 balls over those five seasons and then the two games before the injury. Do we know for sure the Eagles done rotating running backs? Is this ultimately Kellen Moore's call more than the Eagles' organizational call? Did the Eagles rotate backs because they felt they didn't have someone who could play all three downs? Or is this just sort of the plan from the top? You know, let's keep our backs fresh. Let's have backs that, you know, can give the defense different things to think about. So I wonder how many snaps Barkley gets. So that's a fair question. Then we wonder about his touch count. Barkley touched the ball. That's a big number. Let's see here. 295 rushes and 57 receptions 2 years ago for the Giants. That was that Giants team that actually won a playoff game before they bottomed out last year. Playoff win at Minnesota. So 2 years ago, Barkley, 352 touches of the football for a total of 1,650 yards, 10 rushing touchdowns. That's right, he didn't have a receiving touchdown. Somehow he caught 57 balls and didn't have a receiving touchdown. Then last year he had 4 receiving touchdowns, but ironically his rushing touchdowns went down 4. Interesting. He's not going to touch the ball 500 and what do we say it was? 57. He's not going to touch the ball 352 times with the Eagles. He's not. Who else did the Giants really have? That's why Barkley touched the ball 352 times 2 years ago. Is 250 reasonable? Would fantasy fans, would Eagle fans be screaming, is that the Bijan Robinson treatment? Why aren't we using him more? There are some unknowns here. Jalen Hurts is a big factor here for two reasons. One, until further notice, we think Jalen Hurts calls his own number on goal to go, on short yardage, from the one or from the two. Barkley would not get that call. Now, there could be goal to go from the 3, 3.5, the 4, the 5, and out to the 10. That's not a tush push unless it's, you know, third and, you know, we said goal to go. So now you have Barkley for that. But then there's the thought, if the ball isn't handed off to Barkley, is Jalen Hurts going to throw to him out of the backfield, whether it's a design play or it's a check down? Barkley, 41 receptions last year, 57 in 2022, 41 in 2021. His rookie year, he caught 90. Did he really? Wow. Rookie year, 2018, Barkley caught 91 balls. 91! Holy cow. Chances are this will be Barkley's fewest receptions other than the year he was injured in week 2. What's the right number? So you have to adjust your fantasy expectation based on, because Jalen Hurts, usually if he drops back to pass, his first option is A.J. Brown. His second option is Devontae Smith. Third option may be a tight end. Is that third option now Barkley, or is it still the tight end? Jalen Hurts also has the legs to extend the play, to try to come back to that number one or two option. So these all could impact Barkley's total numbers going forward. He probably doesn't rush it as much. He probably doesn't catch it as much. And it's not like he was a touchdown machine. Most rushing touchdowns ever were his rookie year, 11. He had 10 2 years ago. Receiving touchdowns, remember, he didn't have any 2 years ago. I think he's a hell of a football player. There's a lot to like about Saquon Barkley. It's to the Eagles' credit that they signed him and stole him away from the New York Giants. You guys know about the hard knocks and the phone conversation. I don't think he's a first-round pick as a running back. To me, is he an RB1? I think he's a low-level RB1. Low-level. So I get where he's going. I get more the second round, but I think you have to temper expectations. Maybe because the Eagles are good and they can actually get in goal-to-go situations and they're not always going to be on the 1 or 2 yard line, Barkley might have more opportunities to get you 6 points in a score because he's not on the Giants and their traditionally shitty offense in the years where he was kind of their only option. Are you better off being on a team that is better to be an option rather than be the only option on a shitty team? Kind of like the whole Davante Adams thing, to wrap this up and go for full circle on the shitty Raiders. Tell me what you think. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Write.todd@yahoo.com. David, thank you for the email. The rest of you can send me emails based on what's going on with you, your fantasy teams, your mock drafts, your real drafts, your trade options, anything else that you'd like me to cover. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. We'll talk to you next time.